Good morning. I'm Captain Hawk. This is my partner, Captain Fisher.
The Hartleys' faces became an interesting study in contradictions as relief and alarm fought it out in plain view. Relief that the guard finally sent someone to help them with their problem, and alarm because, well, because it was Hawk and Fisher. Leonard Hartley adjusted his garments.
You won't break anything valuable, will you? There are a lot of really expensive items in this house. Irreplaceable items, even apart from the sentimental value.
Mavis got her steam back up.
Expensive items! Tell him about the porcelain figures, Leonard.
Yes, well, the porcelain figures...
They are very fragile. And don't even go near the glass cabinets. Those collections took years to put together. Any breakages will come out of your salaries.
Yes, any breakages...
Tell them about the ghost.
I was just going to tell them about the ghost, Mavis.
Don't you raise your voice to me, Leonard Hartley. I remember when you were just a milliner's assistant.
I was a very high-class milliner's assistant.
Mother always said I meant...
This argument seemed quite capable of maintaining itself without any intervention from Hawk and Fisher, so they turned to the son, Francis. He goggled at them with his slightly protuberant eyes, folded his long, slender fingers together across his sunken chest, and smiled dolefully.
What can you tell us about the haunting?
Oh, I think it's all frightfully fascinating. An actual intrusion from the worlds beyond. I'm one of the children of the night, you know. A lost soul dedicated to act on all the darker muses. A seeker on the shores of oblivion. I've published verses in some almost very well-known journals. You won't hurt the ghost, will you? I've tried talking to it, but I don't seem to be getting through. I've tried reading it my poetry, but it just vanishes. I think it's shy. I wouldn't mind being haunted myself. I mean, it's just so empowering to be able to just casually insert into the conversation with the other children of the night that I have personally encountered a lost spirit of the night. Oh, my friends are so jealous. If only the ghost would just let me get some sleep. I mean, I may be a night person, but there are limits.
This is my house, and you are both trespassing. Leave my property immediately, or face my terrible wrath. My righteous anger shall be unconstrained. So flee now while you still can, or face my fury from beyond the grave.
How the hell is he talking like that? I mean, his voice box is still in his throat, isn't it? And even if it isn't, how are the lungs getting any air to it?
Maybe there's some kind of ectoplasmic connection that we can't see. That would account for the hand and the eyeballs. Then again, his chest isn't moving, which would suggest that he isn't using his lungs.
What's that? Speak up. Don't mumble, damn it.
We're not mumbling. It's just that you have an arm covering one ear and the other is pressed against your chest. I'm surprised you can hear anything.
Oh, yes, right. I'm rather new at this, actually.
Get it away.
Hartley's body juggled his head out from under his armpit and held it forward with both hands like an offering. Unfortunately, the splayed fingers of the supporting hands now covered the eyes.
Oh, damn.
The fingers fumbled for a better hold, and the head slipped through both hands and crashed to the floor. The head bounced.
Oh!
The body stumbled forward, reaching down blindly with its hands, and one foot caught the head and kicked it across the floor.
Oh, go and help him, Hawk. We'll be here all night otherwise.
Hawk pushed past the headless body and strode over to the detached head. It looked up at him imploringly and tried an ingratiating smile.
Please?
Hawk picked up the head by one ear. He gave the grimacing head back to its body, which grabbed it firmly with both hands and immediately poked itself in one eye. Hawk and Fisher looked at each other. Hartley's head glared at them and stuck out its lower lip sulkily. Fisher turned away, her shoulders heaving.
Put your head back on your neck, Hartley, please.
The ghost did so, neck and head rejoining with no trace of a seam. Hawk indicated to Fisher that it was safe for her to turn back, and they studied the reassembled Appleton Hartley, standing somewhat uncertainly before them. He appeared to be solid enough, if you overlooked that somehow he'd managed to get his left ear on upside down. Hawk decided he wouldn't point it out.
Go ahead, laugh it up. You think it's easy being a ghost? The condition doesn't exactly come with an instructional pamphlet, you know. I haven't even figured out how to walk through walls yet.
Some people have no sense of propriety. Hanging around when it's clear they're no longer welcome. Haunting and what have you. I don't know what the neighbors must be thinking. We've never had a revenant in the family before. And after we paid all that money for the funeral, too. Professional mourners, tears on demand, and a real oak coffin with a velvet lining and real brass handles. Tell him, Leonard.
Real brass handles?
And the flowers. Do you realize how much money wreaths cost these days? I don't know how they can stand to ask for the money.
The professional mourners were good. Did some lovely keening.
You call that racket mourning? You knew very well I wanted to be cremated with a purely secular ceremony. You didn't even have them sing my favorite song at the funeral.
Certainly not. It was quite unsuitable for a public ceremony. Nothing more than a drinking song full of vulgar references to women and body parts.
What's it like being dead? I think a lot about being dead.
If I had your parents, so would I. And if you keep annoying me, boy, I'll arrange a first-hand experience for you.
You see? You see? He's threatening us now. Do something, Leonard.
What the hell am I supposed to do against a ghost?
Don't you dare take that tone of voice with me, Leonard Hartley.
Can we at least decide exactly what this argument is about? Why are you so determined to remain in your old house, Appleton, instead of moving on?
Because I spent years getting this place just right. And they're destroying it.
In search of the money you have selfishly hidden here. Money that is ours by right.
Ah, every time there's a family argument, you can bet money's at the bottom of it.
When Appleton liquidated his business and took all his money out of the bank, it took two coaches to transfer all the cash here. That money is ours, and I want it.
You can want it all you like, but you won't get it. Oh, I took hundreds of thousands of ducats out of the bank. A lifetime savings. But it's all gone now. When I found out I was dying, and there was nothing magic or doctors could do to save me, I cashed in everything and spent the lot on wine, women, and song. Well, wine and women, mostly. Had a hell of a good time while it lasted.
Mavis was finally struck silent. Leonard looked like he might faint. Francis smiled for the first time.
You crafty bastard. If only I'd known, I'd have joined you.
Francis!
Should have done it years earlier, but I was always too busy running my business. Never married, never had any fun. But when I knew I was dying, everything became very clear to me. Why spend your life making money just for some ungrateful relatives to inherit? So I spent all my money on a pre-wake and had the best time I could stand. Toward the end, it was a rush as to what would kill me first, the disease of the wine and women. I had more fun dying than I ever did living my old life.
There's no money? Not at all?
Well, you might find the odd coin lost down the back of the sofa, but that's about it. And you needn't think about selling my house either. Rather than see you make a penny profit out of dismantling my home, I'll haunt it till you're all dead and gone. Think of me as a sitting tenant with a really long lease.
You people don't need an exorcist. You need family counseling and possibly a good slap.
Good idea, Isabel. This could drag on for years, except I haven't got the patience, so this is what we're going to do. Leonard and Mavis, you will agree to sell this house to someone who will appreciate and look after it. And you, Appleton, will agree to let them do this, or Fisher and I will burn the whole place down.
You wouldn't!
Oh, yes, we would.
We are now leaving. Sort out the details among yourselves. Only keep the noise down or we'll be back.
And next time, we'll bring a social worker with us.